I'm rolling.
I'm also rolling.
I was rolling first.
Okay, I was rolling second.
Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One. I might just use that I was rolling first bit.
But it's not synced.
I can... Oh, Adam. You don't know what a tail slate is, do you?
No.
Ha 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 ha! I wish I hadn't done that laugh. It was good till it was good until that bad laugh. That was
maniacal. Not, that was maniacal.
Yeah, but not in like good way.
No.
Hello and welcome to episode 343 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam.
In Vancouver.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know why I said it that way. I'll be honest with you.
343, that's got to be some weird numerical thing for you.
I believe it is the... it might be my batting average right now.
Wow.
No, it fell. Fell to 343.
Okay.
Yeah, not happy about that. Amazon, though, if you need to buy a calculator to figure out your batting average, why don't you have a smartphone? That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Do you have a... Can you buy a calculator still?
I'm sure you can.
Probably.
Casio. Casio's got the market cornered.
Yeah, get one with that's a watch and a calculator built in, if you're classy.
Sure.
Either way, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Yeah.
Bought something.
I did.
What'd you buy?
You're going to like this because I think you talked about it, I don't know, a year and a half ago.
Okay.
That Gregory Heisler book, 50 Portraits.
Oh, I have that. Bought it a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think you talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember and brushed it off. And then, I don't know, I was just... you know, searching the underbelly of the internet for random stuff. And then I came across David Hobby's review of that book. Just, I can't remember how it happened, but all of a sudden I was reading David Hobby's review of that book and boom, sold. I immediately went and purchased it.
And has it shown up yet?
Oh yeah. I got it the next day. That's the Amazon beauty. And, it is fantastic. I'm kind of going through it slowly, doing kind of like two or three portraits a day,
mm-hmm.
and just absolutely soaking it up. I think anybody who is a listener to this show who's interested in portrait photography, I know we spend a lot of our time shooting portraits. That's kind of both key interests of ours. And correct. So it, you know, directly applies clearly because it's a book about portrait photography, but it's just a good book. Like, forget the photography aside, which is, I mean, super interesting to someone who's into it, but the stories of the people and how the images are made, these are pretty famous people, like, you know, that he's photographing, but just the stories behind it are really interesting, and he's actually a really good writer. So I think there's so much to be gained, and all you have to do is look up David Hobby's review, and so far I'm about let's say I'm 10 portraits in, so 20% through. It's already worth the money if there wasn't another 40 to go.
Yes, I agree.
It is so good, and it's not only is it just good reading, it's inspiring, and it gives you ideas and things that, you know, maybe I've tried in the past but sort of gotten away from, and it sort of reminds me, hey, go try that again. And the results that he's getting are just tremendous, and most of it seems very time constrained, and what he's doing and pulling off is awesome, and it's a really, really, really good read. And I think if you're in the US, it's something like $25. It's a hardcover book it's a big hardcover book because he's got basically each portrait.
What did it cost for you?
I think it was maybe $35 or $40 here, but I want to say it's almost, I think it's about 25 in the US,
because
right after I read David Hobby's review, clearly his is done in the U.S. And then I just clicked through the link there to see what the U.S. price was. And I think it was like $24 or something.
Yeah.
And then I went through the Canadian site, obviously. But what an unbelievable deal, as far as if you just want to learn, be inspired, just do something interesting. Everybody should have this book who's interested in portrait photography, for sure. I can't believe I didn't have this book before.
It was ridiculously cheap here as well when I got it. I got it when it first came out, and I had pre-ordered it. It was like a four-month backlog or something. And ended up showing up 3 days later instead. So I was wildly thrilled. And then read the book, and I remember my initial review on the show, and I guarantee it's better review than Mr. Hobby.
Your review?
My review was, this book is so good that I will read it in the bathroom, but I will not leave it in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are strong words.
I'd like to write the foreword for his next book. So Mr. Heiser, if you're listening, and we know you are, good job.
Yeah, but seriously, this is not an, like, there's no endorsement. Great if you buy it on Amazon, click through our site. I will say that much. But just get, if you walk by the bookstore and you see this there, just grab it. You will not be disappointed. Mr. Heiser will not be, worried whether we endorse it or not. So
No. This
is just good photographic read.
Put it this way. I'm going to check our Amazon stats next week.
Yeah.
And if nobody clicked through our site and bought that book, I'm going to kick a puppy.
Awesome.
Not my puppy.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think if it's anything like our monthly photo challenge, 4.5 people will buy it.
Yeah. Most likely. All right. What's going on, Adam, besides the good bathroom reading?
Baseball wrapped up, so we are free for the month of August. So there's no more baseball. We had our big tournament, our sort of year end tournament, which was good, and the kids did, basically, I think it was a 9-team tournament. We finished about where we expected, which was pretty smack dab in the middle. And the kids did well. It was a good time, and so that was fun. I did shoot some photos. I put a sample, because we went from every day in the month of July to being complete, blue skies and sunshine, to a weekend where that tournament, where it was nothing but just overcast. It was just kind of soft overcast light, which, you lose something in terms of, color saturation and just kind of that vibrance of that golden light and blue sky. Mm-hmm. But what you gain back is kind of fish in a barrel as far as trying to take action shots of kids playing baseball. So it was nice. I brought my camera and I did take some shots of the kids that I spread around. I put one sample in the Dropbox for you to post of just Jack hitting, and we've seen pictures of him hitting before, but I just didn't have permission of anyone else. So I just wanted to sort of show the nice soft light, which is just so great for shooting action photography.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was fortunate enough to have that. And so I did some photos of that, but he's
collapsing his back arm a little bit. This swing, this isn't his best work.
No. And it was just the angle that I had and the shot that I had that I didn't have any other people that I didn't have permission from to post. So that's why.
However, I will say the one positive here is it looks like he has a little bit of an upswing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Okay, you're going to come across people who tell – I don't think we talked about this in the show. You're going to come across people who tell you, no, swing level.
Yeah.
Ignore those people.
For a lot of the kids that strike out all the time, I agree. Like, you just first want them making contact.
You do no level swings.
We definitely, for the kids that never hit the ball, we do encourage them first just to build their confidence to be able to get contact. It's a little easier with the level or swing, but
no, it isn't.
I beg to disagree.
Yeah, but physics disagrees with you.
The 7U crowd, their loop, for a lot of them, completely leaves a hole where there's no possible way they're going to make contact.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. The ball's coming in completely flat, or is it falling?
Slightly falling.
So it's slightly falling, and thus you will increase your impact zone greatly if you have a slight upswing. It's just,
yes,
it's just
but
physics.
They don't have a slight upswing.
You just said
they have a massive upswing.
No, that's crazy. But you want to match their little upswing, their small upswing. You want to match it relative to where the ball is falling.
I agree, but that ball does not fall more than an inch or two.
Right. Like level is level.
Yes, but what I'm saying is when they have a massive upswing and mm-hmm. you tell them to level off, you're probably going to fall somewhere in the middle, which is a much better version. The kids don't hit the ball.
That's your wife telling you you want to leave by 5:30 because you really want to leave by 6. That's
yeah,
what, that's
exactly. Okay. That's exactly.
But
you're still not going to get them to swing level.
You hadn't
okay,
said that.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. But Jack, anyways, to get back to it, Jack does have kind of a nice upswing, but mm-hmm. which usually leads to him hitting the ball really hard and into the outfield or popping it up. So those are the two most likely. Like, he doesn't hit a lot of ground balls,
right?
So, but anyways, that aside, I have a story that relates to the tournament that makes me feel like Grandpa Adam. So you're probably gonna like this.
Okay.
So this is a 9-team tournament. And after the morning games, they were set to do a skills competition. So we were kind of waiting around
at the age of eight?
Yeah, 8U. So they had a full skills competition, like round the horn, longest hit, a catcher to third base throw where there was a big net where you had to, you know, if you had 6 throws, how many you get in the net. Mm-hmm. So they had a full base race, all these different things. So anyways, so we're all waiting around. There's 9 teams set to do the skills competition. And they're all going to do it on one field and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, one game hasn't finished up. So we got about a 20-minute delay waiting for the last game to finish because they're at a different field and have to come over. So all the teams that are there, the other 7 teams, are kind of like, you know, figuring out what to do to kill time. So our kids, well-supervised, let me just put that down first, are just basically throwing the ball back and forth, doing their own little drills just amongst the kids. There's a team, I'm standing kind of behind the backstop with my camera, 70 to 200 in the 6D, just talking to my parents. And behind the backstop, just behind the backstop, there's a big hill that kind of goes up and there's a bunch of trees on it. And there's a whole bunch of, I don't even know what you call them. They're kind of like the nephew of a pine cone. It's smaller, denser.
Uh-huh.
Pellets. I don't even know. I don't. You know what I'm talking about, though. They're like mini pine cones, but they're kind of dense and small and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one team within, let's say, 5 feet. There's about 12 kids running around on this hill, picking up these little things and just throwing them as hard as they can at each other. But me and my dad and my mom were, you know, just feet away, and they start zipping past us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one just misses me, then one hits my dad, and I turn around and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I said to the kids, I'm like, "Stop! Where are your parents?" is the first thing I said.
Oh,
and I'm
looking that makes you grandpa.
Yeah, yeah. I looked around and I don't see anybody. And then one of the kids says, "Oh, they're over on the other side." And I said, "Well, go do that over by them," is what I said.
Okay,
right?
Hot. That's nice.
Yeah. And so anyway, so they kind of look at me for a second. I'm like, "No, this is a bad idea. Go over by your parents." And then they all basically scramble over to the other side. And then I'm like, I don't even know what universe is this okay. I get it if you're up in the trees or something, but right beside strangers, and they could care less about the people who are standing right next to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this was a full blown war of what was going on. So then
who was holding the fidget spinners while this was going on?
I didn't see any fidget spinners, but then so I cleared them out of there, and then a grumpy mom comes walking over. I don't even know if she was part of that team, but I think she was. And she said, "What's going on here? Why are you getting mad at the kids?" And I said, "They're throwing these things at each other, but they hit my dad and just missed me. I'm holding a $2,500 worth of equipment in my hand too, so I'm not thrilled about these things getting winged by my camera either, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And then she
more
said,
"More important than your dad, evidently."
Yeah, my dad can take it or whatever. He's got broad shoulders.
Richard,
so anyway, she was like super owly, and now she's sort of raising her voice. I mean, then I'm like, I'm getting defensive. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I told them to go over and do it over by their parents because this is this. And she said, well, they're only, you know, 7 and 8, you know. So I guess there's no fun. Like, you're telling them not to have fun. And I said, no, I'm telling them not to whip things by strangers and to go find their parents. I don't see a single parent around who's monitoring every this. I look over at the other teams that are all on the field waiting for the skills competition, either just sitting or playing baseball, right? This is the one group that's just gone awry. And the parents have set up their little tent 200 meters away and they're just drinking under it, right?
Sure.
So I'm thinking, you know, let them do it right by your tent. See if it's still a good idea. But anyways, she barked something else and then she walked away. And I just left thinking, what world are we living in where I have to defend telling kids to do something that is so clearly stupid?
Yes.
That I'm still angry a week later. I'm still angry a week later about the confrontation. And it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So I just want to hear your feedback. Am I that grandpa-ish?
No, you're 10% at fault here, though.
Okay, all right.
And here's why. Is never, ever, ever engage crazy people. And this lady is crazy. No, you never do it. Like, if she comes over...
Well, I don't even think she saw any of it, right?
Doesn't matter. She's Gladys Kravitz. She just wants to see what's going on next door. And... Ooh. She comes over, and this is honestly how I choose to deal with this. Okay, you be her, and I'll be you. So you go ahead.
Okay. What are you yelling at the kids over here?
Who are you? What's your name? Who are you?
Gladys.
Yeah. Why don't you go over there and mind your business?
You know what I actually said at one point, and I thought she was gonna rear back and try to throw a punch. Was I said, please just walk away. And then she, that's what I said. And I was wondering, like, I'm like, maybe this is going to start a fight, but it sort of froze her.
Was she going to hit you?
Well, she looked like she might body slam me.
But you are exactly in the same camp as I am in that, I'm all set friend wise. Like, I'm not trying to make new friends. So like if me and her aren't going to be friends, I'm going to be okay tonight.
Right.
And I'm guessing you didn't want to date her.
No.
So I
do want to add one more piece of a log on the fire, so to speak. But about 10 minutes later, so all the kids scram because they're mad about, or they're kind of confused about grumpy adult telling them to go away. Within, I'm going to say it was 10 minutes later. So we're still waiting for the skills competition to start. And their team had kind of disappeared to the other side of the diamond where they were basically dogpiling each other and whatnot, right?
As they should.
Yeah, that's fine. But 10 minutes later, they migrated back around to the exact same spot. And then they started up the war again.
Oh, she and fueled that, it, didn't she?
And that same... And so I was far enough away from it at that point... from the hill that I'd sort of distanced myself that I wasn't going to get hit, but they started up again in the exact same place because that's where all these little miniature pine cone things were. And she came over and I could hear her say, you guys have to stop that because the man over there says it's not you're not allowed to have fun. That's what she said as loud as she could.
Passive aggressive. So,
as loud as she could to make sure that everyone kind of heard that this activity was completely appropriate, just as just the man over there says no fun.
The man. First of all, man. The man.
Yeah. Yeah. I was called the man. Yeah.
The man.
Yeah.
Wow. This lady's unhappy with her life.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. Not only were these things basically small rocks that they could have, you know, hurt each other with, but it was the random stranger part. I don't care if they went up into the trees and they basically destroyed each other. That to me, it wasn't really a.
See,
their parents can take
is,
care of safety. I didn't want to eat one in the face, is what it was.
The egregious part here is kids are kids and kids are dumb.
Yes, now, that's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, but you were right to say this. But what her to get involved and then come over there and be passive aggressive a second time, I'm going to go ahead and describe this lady to you. She's older.
She was older than me, probably by a good 7, 8 years, 10, maybe 10.
Older than you. Best days behind her.
Heavily tattooed, yep.
Yeah.
Not that the tattoos were the reason for her aggression.
Oh, heavily tattooed. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, heavily tattooed.
No, I was going to say that she enjoys to do the morning crossword, but she can't, so she does the word jumble and never gets more than half. That's who I'm saying she is.
I'm going to describe her as rough around the edges.
Right.
You could have picked her at a line if I said here's the 10 parents. Which one do you think confronted me? You would have picked her out every time. She was kind of looking for to stir some crap. Mm-hmm. But the best part was when she told me they're 7 and 8 year olds. So what do you want? I said, I want them to be supervised if this is what they think is appropriate activity. That's what, wow. I said. I said, I might've said, I want someone to parent.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, only 10% on you, and even that's a stretch because you never – these are the people I enjoy taunting, except for, you know, her second husband is probably packing heat. So you might want to avoid that.
Yeah, and again, I try to put myself back afterwards. I'm like, did I unnecessarily get mad? Like what really happened here? Because I had to break it down, and then I thought – and then I thought, well, okay, if I was 7 or 8 and we threw these things at each other, I as an 8-year-old, I probably would have thought it was fine, except for the part, which I never in a million years would have done, which is throw them 3 feet away from strangers, adults. Like, that part is the part that just blows my mind, is that there's zero respect for anybody around. And then I thought, would Jack ever do that? Never, never.
He might by accident, but it would never happen a second time.
He would be mortified if he threw something. Like, even when we were at the beach and he throws a wild frisbee and it goes near somebody, he kind of like does the turtle move, the, you know, hide in his own shell, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, there's my grandpa Adam for the week.
Good story.
Yeah, it's good.
I kind of wish I was there because I love getting these folks wound up because they get into it. Yeah. Like, they don't back down. They don't understand that you're messing with them, and they get into it. And that's when I start, and this is where I'm kind of a jerk. I start putting on a little bit of a theater for the other parents on our team.
Yeah, no, there was a little bit of that. The other weird part about the whole situation is I had to think that this is probably the first time where my parents did not say a word. They were standing 2 feet from him, and I never discussed afterwards the incident whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, I was mad. Like, I was really mad, not just at the first part with the kids. I was mad the fact that I had to then defend it to an adult. And my parents stood, again, 2.5 feet from me while I had this
just
debate
beaming,
with this
though.
Lady. And no, I don't know. That's a I'm kind of interested to know, like, what did they think? I didn't even want to go there. And I don't think neither did they. But my dad's reaction to when he got hit was so much more controlled than mine would have been if it was me that got plunked the way he did.
You're George Costanza.
Yeah.
Quit kicking us eight.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'll come back there. Don't think I won't.
Let's move along to better topics. Yeah.
The weather in Germany. Wow. You think you had what happened here? What happened? So this goes towards the challenge later on in the show because I didn't do it.
Okay.
I issued the challenge. We did not have a – well, right now, as I record this, I can see some blue sky. This is the first blue sky we've seen in a week. It's been overcast the entire week this week. Nothing.
Okay. We had a lot of that.
All right, but slow your roll here. Okay, it's the end of July. Normally, very, very hot.
Right.
So much so that my wife likes to put the roll shutters down to keep the house cool, which I hate. But I like the cool part. I don't like the living in a submarine part. However, took the kids to kindy yesterday, in the morning at 8:15 a.m. Could see my breath in July. Right. Yay! I have pictures of my kids running around this week wearing jackets and jeans.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't feel bad for you at all.
No, you a little bit.
Not really.
Coupled with a bad week on the baseball field.
Oh.
We played sort of, I guess, the third place team, and we lost both games. We got swept.
Oh, dear.
Had a bad day at the plate. My average went down a little bit, as I said earlier in the show. Wasn't happy about that. Knocked a few points off the old batting average.
Okay.
Got hit by a pitch, which didn't feel good.
Okay.
I am actually back to leading the league in hit by pitch, though.
Wow.
Which is weird. Which is a weird thing. I'm not going to lie to you, because I went the most of my life having never, like, I probably didn't get hit by a pitch until I was 25 years old. Playing in high caliber baseball, I didn't like it. I preferred, not that I didn't, you know, want to get hit. I just like to do the hitting. Right. And so you get hit, it's like, all right, let's end up bat taken away. I came here to hit the ball. But the umpiring in Germany, subpar. And so I'm leading I've been hit seven times. I think all seven have been on a two-strike count.
Wow.
Meaning if the guy throws inside with two strikes, I basically lean into it so the umpire doesn't ring me up on a bad call. Like, gotcha. It's a ball. Like, I don't go into the home plate, but I will take the pitch to avoid being, you know, struck out on a ball.
Gotcha.
So there you go. But so that doesn't feel good. But then also at the end of the extra innings game in game two, I kind of banged up the knee a little bit.
Uh oh.
Yeah. I was okay. We're okay. I was a little worried, actually. I kind of fell on it. And didn't twist it or anything like that. Didn't hyperextend it, but I landed on it. And I'm not sure. It was a bunt play at the plate. I charged in, made the tag, and I'm wondering if I don't remember. I must have landed on the bat. I'm not sure because I have a big awa on my knee. A lot of swelling.
Awesome.
I was worried it was the what do you call it? ACL.
Cruciate. Yeah.
I was a little worried.
It would be buckling.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But then I was a little, okay, did I strain the MCL? What about meniscus? Like, I'm going through all the iterations because I couldn't walk.
Uh-oh.
I finished the game. Like, it just swelled up really quickly. I finished the game, couple more innings, and ended up riding my bike the half hour home, which was kind of awesome because my wife had left. So I still had to ride my bike home. Next morning, couldn't bend my leg at all. Like, it's just frozen.
Oh, no.
Went to the doctor, though. Went to the doctor right away. Like, that morning, we called in a favor. I know a guy. And went in, like, 5 minutes later. He said, no, it's probably just banged it, and it's just swelling up. And that's why it's restricting the movement.
Right.
Does that sound right?
It certainly could be.
Okay. Because I can see the bruising on the outside of the knee. And yeah. He checked it all out. We did x-rays right away, and he checked it all out, and there's no indication that there's any actual damage. No meniscus, no MCL, no ACL. Everything's intact.
Yeah.
However, so it's still now. And then by Tuesday, this was on Monday morning, Tuesday, movement was better. Like,
okay.
Like 50% better, and then by Wednesday, 90% better. So but still, on, you know, 4 days later, I'm still not 100%.
Yeah, and it'll come down to when you start, you know, increasing speed, and either it'll go or it won't.
What do you mean go?
Either it'll respond, like it'll work properly, or you're going to, as you increase the speed and the impact, that's where you're going to find out whether or not something's really wrong or not. And if it doesn't cooperate, then you're going to probably want better diagnostic testing than an x-ray.
Okay.
X-rays only show bone, so
right.
You can't
right. The bone was intact.
Yeah, but you can't tell about, like, you didn't hurt the bone.
No,
but you could have possibly hurt the meniscus or one of those ligaments. And fast swell basically is an indication that, you know, there's obviously bleeding. Something tore. Now, best case scenario, it's just contusion. It's just, you know, on the outside. But if it's on the inside, and mm-hmm. you're not going to know 3 or 4 days after. You're going to feel like when you try to change directions or when you try to run, something isn't going to be right, in which case you're going to want to ask the doctor to sign you up for a better diagnostic test, something that will see the ligaments, the cartilage. MRI is the best thing, but mm-hmm. I don't know how easy it is to access that. But there's a good chance in a week you're not going to feel anything, and it's just a bruise.
I believe it is a bruise. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that there are other indications. I mean, this guy is a specialist.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking. No, I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah,
but there are other indications of let's say, you know, for example, like you said, I'm not buckling, so I don't think there's been a tear of the any ligaments.
Yeah,
I'm wondering about meniscus. I'm not sure, but wouldn't there not?
Yeah,
be
it's
binding?
Very hard to tell. Very hard to tell. You can't tell. I mean, some are very cut and dry. The biggest thing with meniscus, I can't believe we're talking about this on the podcast.
People want to know. Like me.
Yeah, people really want to know. But with meniscus, basically, it just won't continue to get better. So it'll just kind of plateau, and there'll be discomfort, especially with impact, because the meniscus is a shock absorber.
Right.
So deep loaded bending, running, those things, and it'll just keep being sore, in which case that's the biggest indication. The clinical tests for a meniscus aren't good. So in the office, you can't tell. You basically tell after a few weeks when it's just not getting better, in which case you do an MRI and you find it. That's the reality of it is, if a guy in the major leagues hurts his knee, they don't leave it up to the best doctors in the world to diagnose. They say, hey, go to the MRI tomorrow, and then that's how they find out. Okay. So I don't care how good your guy is or how good I am. Mm-hmm. You can't be certain either way.
Okay.
But it just doesn't respond. So
okay, we'll wrap this up real quick then.
Sure. Yeah, people are dying to know how this finishes.
Yeah, they are. Well, because there's the whole healthcare thing going on. The healthcare in Germany is very fantastic. Let me tell you that. So should I get an MRI?
Yes.
Like immediately.
Sure, if you can access one, absolutely.
Well, I'm me. Come on.
Okay. Well, then get one.
Okay, I'm pretty sure we can do an MRI now. If it is, because like I say, I'm guessing it's not the based on stability in the knee.
Yes, yeah.
It's not either. I've torn my MCL before. It doesn't feel like that.
Okay,
never torn my ACL.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It gets pretty wobbly.
Yeah, it gets pretty wobbly.
Yeah, no, I have way more stability than that. So if there is anything outside of a bruise, I'm guessing it's going to be meniscus. So with that, my question is, what if I play tomorrow?
If it just won't respond. So you won't last the game. You'll try to run, and you'll get probably sharp pain.
Okay.
So if you get sharp pain, you should stop playing.
but if it is just a bruise, will I not also get sharp pain?
Probably not as sharp.
Okay.
You'd get more discomfort, but probably lacking the super sharp. The meniscus isn't going to want to run on it. And it'll get pretty sharp pretty quick.
Okay.
And then it'll start to stiffen up. So I think, and you'll even find swinging. So it's your right leg or your left leg?
Right leg.
So your right leg, and you're a lefty?
Lefty, like your son.
Yeah, so that's tough, because you're gonna plant that front foot and you're going to twist on it. So
right.
It's probably not going to like swinging the bat very much.
Okay. If it's meniscus.
It's probably not going to like that torsion.
Okay.
So we'll see. Planted torsion is one of the most irritable things to a torn meniscus.
So I'll probably take some BP tomorrow morning pregame and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Doctor said don't play, but I don't always believe them. Also, P.S. I really want to play.
Okay, so let's keep us updated. It's funny. This is literally a sit down in the physio's office that everyone just experienced here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put that as the topic.
But I feel like I need to get an MRI.
Alan's knee.
ASAP. I don't want it.
If it doesn't respond tomorrow, then I would get an MRI.
Respond, yeah. Meaning like everything.
Like if you get through the game and it's not a big deal, then I wouldn't worry too much about the MRI.
But I'm kind of a tough guy, so I don't know what the big deal is.
Okay, get the MRI then.
Like I can get through. Oh, man, I don't know now. We'll have to find out. We'll have to find out. Because as I move and get moving, you know, I find as I walk or swim. I swam yesterday. As I move and swim, move around, walk around, swim, you know, it kind of loosens up a little bit.
That's blood flow and circulation. That's kind of says there's an inflammatory response, and as you start moving, you get blood flow and circulation, which dilutes the inflammatory cells, which makes it feel better. And then if you sit, you know, for 20 minutes, then it'll stiffen up because the inflammatory cells all collect when you're not moving.
Okay.
Everybody take notes on this if you
have
a sore knee.
This is
very, very good information to have.
Recovery time on meniscus surgery.
Usually about 3 weeks, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, for most people. I mean, you're young enough. They just clean it up.
So
you have a week where it's stiff, and then it just basically improves. Second week, it's a lot better. By third week, I mean, I've seen firefighters go back to full duties where, you know, they got to pass a bunch of physical tests in 3 weeks. But I'd say generally speaking, 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, if you're an athlete and you've got access to all the rehab stuff, then three weeks is about what the guys in the NHL get back to.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Anyway, any questions, just fire them over to me. I'll answer what we're going on with the knee.
Okay.
Yeah, not you. I meant the listeners, because they're all still listening.
Or for anybody out there who's got their physio concerns, just please, two hosers. I love to answer questions by email. Or without seeing anything and give advice. So ice, yeah. That's my standard go-to.
I've been icing every day. I've been icing every day, trying to keep that get that down. And like I said, it went down to 90% like in a day.
Ride the bike. Go ride the bike.
Yeah?
Bike's good for it, yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. As long as you extend the seat high enough so you don't do too much bending.
Sure.
All right. All right. Then we can skip the story about me learning a new non-linear editing program.
Your knee's screwed for sure, by the way.
Don't mess with me. I don't need that right now. I'm honestly having, like, because I almost blew up my other knee last week, and I am just absolutely a mess right now.
Okay, so for the listeners keeping score at home, torn meniscus.
I can deal with that. Torn meniscus, I'm not going to cry about.
Yeah, I tell people it's the best, easiest thing. It's an easy fix, too.
And worst case, if it's really bad here, like, they will regrow it now.
Wow,
My buddy had his they regrew his in a petri dish.
Wow, you guys are light years ahead of us here.
I don't know. I was shocked to hear that. He went down. He tore his ACL, and on the way down, the meniscus just basically tore right off because of the damage.
Sometimes you get all three: ACL, meniscus, MCL. They call that the terrible triad.
Oh no, they call it the hat trick.
Hat
trick. And so he went down and did all that, and so they opened him up. They were going to just repair the ACL, and then I saw, oh no, it was way more damage than we thought. So they had to put him back together, take some of the cartilage out, regrow it in a petri dish, and redo it, and then do that first, and then the ACL.
Wow. No, yeah. That doesn't exist here.
Well, that doesn't seem right. If they can do it here, they can do it there. It's a short plane ride. Make it happen.
Okay.
You should pioneer that. All right. Reminder, monthly photo challenge is knee surgery. Check it out. Check it out. Hashtag. Monthly challenge, photo challenge is summer part two, and we're going to be reviewing that next week. Mine, Adam, and both the other ones that get submitted. So hashtag them on Instagram, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. All right. And also, by the way, we had a few suggestions emailed and to us, so we do appreciate that. We will try to incorporate that into the show.
Sure.
Did you shoot anything interesting besides Jack's baseball?
No.
Me neither. My daughter had her kindergarten graduation yesterday.
Okay.
Not that interesting. Little bit overblown, the whole what have you.
I tried to shoot a team photo, this is baseball, but it's not really baseball. I tried to just shoot a group photo at the diamond because it's the soft light. And I said, hey, we should really, get a team photo together because it was going to be, basically the last time everyone was together at the same time. And we have a large team, so we basically, four kids don't play each game, so we sort of have a rotating lineup, which meant, hey, there was, because of the skills competition, everyone was going to be there. So I said, hey, I'll do a group photo. And the team name is the Chuckers.
Right.
And I got everyone together. That's important because when I got them all together, it was my bright idea to get them to all yell Chuckers, and then I would snap the photo.
Mm-hmm.
That created quite an interesting kind of mouth expression. So now I understand why they say cheese and not Chuckers.
Sure.
Chuckers creates kind of a weird mouth open.
Did you get all the moms on the team to pose for a photo as well?
No, I didn't.
And tell, hey, we're the mother. No, forget that. Forget where I was going with that.
So I ended up, I probably took 10 photos and then I got them to say it a couple times. So the best photo was kind of an instant after they finished saying Chuckers, and some of them didn't even say, they just kind of smiled. So I got something. The best part was, we talked about, okay, you choose the one where your kid looks the best.
Right.
Jack didn't really ever have a smile in any of them, so I picked the one where he looked the most stoic.
Uh-huh. Nice.
But anyway, so group photo. And then the one other little thing that in doing something like this really quickly that sometimes – you don't pay attention to, or I don't pay attention to, that I always regret afterwards, is just the actual alignment. Like, I put all these people together, and when I'm looking at it through the camera, it looked fine, but I noticed we're big on symmetry and some of these group photos, but I had all the kids lined up on the bottom row and all on the one knee and the people in behind and the coaches in the middle. But one kid was like, I don't know, had about two feet from the next kid. And it just didn't symmetrically line up, because then he doesn't have a person that's right in front of him. So he's just, you're seeing a full length shot of him, but of nobody else.
Right.
And they're all like that, of course, because I just went boom, boom, boom once I got them lined up. And then I thought, how did I miss that? Like, pay a little bit more attention to that start before you take the photo, and then this doesn't happen.
It's funny. It's funny you mentioned that, because that's kind of the topic for later.
Oh, wow.
It is. I'm not joking.
What a lead-in.
Every time. You do it every time. I don't even tell you what the topic is.
No.
The topic this week is Boring Stories by Adam.
It's physio advice by Adam.
Yeah. That's a bold statement by me after 30 minutes of, hey, my knee hurts.
Okay, so let's talk about the photo challenge. How about that?
The photo challenge. All right, the photo challenge this week was fake polarizer. And I'm going to go first because, as I told you, there was no sun. And in order for there to be the polarizer, like I talked about last week, you need the blue skies.
Okay.
And we didn't have any. And so really, this is the first time I haven't been able to shoot a photo for the challenge. I've always done something. I faked it or whatever. But this week I had to go back in the archives. No choice. And I trust me, I gave it the college try. Every day I was ready to go. Right up until like half an hour before we started recording.
You don't have to defend yourself.
I'm sour.
No, it's fine. Everybody knows that I'm better.
Right. Did you shoot yours this week?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you said you weren't going to either. Maybe.
I didn't think I had anything, but I took photo on the weekend that I ended up using that I hadn't actually uploaded or seen.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, okay, I did take photos on one try, and so I uploaded those very early this morning, and then I found something that I could use.
Okay, so let's go with mine first. This is dug out of the archives from a couple years ago on a trip to Victoria, British Columbia, and I thought I'd post something different. I'd go and look, normally I post pictures of my kids or other people, and I decided to post a picture of a statue.
Awesome.
There you go. And this works out because, hey, the sky is blue. Sky isn't that blue in this shot.
Like, okay.
This is all kind of comes, that deep blue comes exactly from the method we described last week, which I wouldn't say makes this photo. I mean, the subject of the photo is more so, the greatest Canadian. And the color of the sky doesn't necessarily make or break it, but I think it adds to it. I think it makes for a nice little backdrop.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Is that it?
Well, how else do you shoot a statue, Adam?
I don't know. I don't shoot a lot of statues.
Well, then you're the wrong guy to ask. I don't shoot a lot either. But this, for those of you who don't know who this is, and you should, this is Terry Fox, and at mile zero of the Trans-Canada Highway, where he would have, dunked his right leg in the ocean. Fortunately, he didn't make it. I think pretty much every Canadian knows the story.
Yep.
And for those who don't, I encourage you to Google it. And he's just this is one of those people who really makes you proud to be Canadian. It's just,
and Steve Nash did a 30 for 30 documentary about, or Steve Nash was actually the director. So the right. Two-time NBA. MVP
Into the Wind
documentary. Yeah, it's great. So check that out as a quick way to kind of get the story if you don't know it, or just a good documentary.
It is a good documentary. Also, there's a movie, like a movie of the
movie. There's a full, like, I think Canadian made, right?
Well, there's a 1983 movie starring Robert Duvall.
That's right. Yeah.
There's one, and there was another movie made in 2005.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. Yeah,
and one of the guys in one of the short films I did like that year actually had just come off working on this. He played Terry Fox's best friend in that movie.
Okay,
and really good show. Kind of outlines the enormity of the task that that Terry Fox undertook. So yeah. Anyway, so this was a day I'd taken my kids and my wife and my kids to the statue here and made sure we have a picture of us in front of them, because in front of the statue, and to me it was important that they know who Terry Fox is.
Sure.
Now, unfortunately, my daughter, I think now she knows, but for a long time was basically confusing Terry Fox with Buddy Holly. Both died tragically young, and I happen to be fans of both, so I think that was her confusion there.
Okay, all right.
So there you go. Anyways, that's the sky, the fake polarizer. Let's have a look at yours.
Sure.
Oh, way better. Like, this is just, I can't believe I even bothered to post one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, tell us what's going on here.
I think you can figure it out.
All right, moving on. No, so this is one of your favorite spots. This is down at Gary Point.
Yeah, and my daughter just kind of running and jumping. She's pretty much doing dance moves all the time wherever we go. So I just snapped a photo of her running and trying to do a split leap, and that's what I captured. So this time of day was, I don't know,
2:30
early-ish. Yeah, early-ish afternoon. And so basically the sky, in order to expose her properly and not have her shadows go completely black, I did the trick and brought shadows up. And of course the sky isn't nearly that blue, so then I bring the blues back down and saturate and blah blah blah. Listen to last episode if you want to know how to do this, and end up with this, which I like. I mean, it's fine. It's not going on the wall, but I like it.
But were you to compare this to the without the fake polarizer, compare it to that image, it's night and day. Like you're gonna see probably a lot of just kind of that hazy, aquamarine in the sky versus
exactly,
deep blue.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is kind of the move that I would have done in this photo automatically. I would have looked at it and said, this will look much better if that sky is more blue. Like, the sky is a key player in this image.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that is a just kind of a blah, then I probably just delete it. But I look at that as a potential and say, hey, this would look good with exactly the move that you described. And hence, we end up with an image that I will keep.
Right.
Still not going on my wall, though.
Okay. Nor mine, if it makes you feel
okay.
Better. Yeah.
All right. But Sarah might put it up on her wall, though.
The Terry Fox is going up, though.
Okay.
No, it's not. all right. Topic this week was...
It ties
in with what you're talking about, getting ready and getting it all... You're spending all that time kind of getting it ready and focused on setting up, and then not getting the product, the end result that you like. And I call this it kind of reminded me, because it's kind of a hockey term. Well, not kind of, it's exactly, it's a kind of like a hockey term. Have you heard all Russian, no Finnish?
Yes, I have heard that.
That's for those who don't know, it's a guy just, goes coast to coast, deking everybody out, and then just sort of flips the puck and dumps in the corner, like, or buries it in the goalie's pads.
Right.
And that's how I've been feeling lately with my photos. Like, just in general, not just with team photos. But just with my photography, like I feel like I haven't been delivering the final product like I'm envisioning, and I'm spending a lot of time kind of, getting geared up, getting, making sure the lighting's just right and making sure that's happening. And then the results are just kind of blah. So why? I want to find out why. We're getting to the bottom of why and what can we do about that. And
okay.
And do you feel my pain? Have you encountered this?
No, I'm usually bang on all the time.
Except this week, without even knowing, you went and
no,
blew it.
No, this is every photographer, and all the time is that, sometimes you have that vision, and then based on circumstances, sometimes beyond your control, you have to call an audible, so to speak. And so it becomes very difficult. So sometimes what you have in your eye, sometimes it ends up being better, but a lot of times it ends up just not being what you're after. And if you're not able to quickly adapt, then you're just going to walk away feeling very unsatisfied. I think in that book, in one of the, that Greg Lee Heisler book, and one of the things he talks about right at the beginning is just, don't get too stuck on what that image that you have going in is,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes it's just not achievable, and so you have to be able to adapt, and sometimes the end result ends up being better, and like we're talking about, sometimes it ends up being worse, but you can't stay too locked in on that if it's just not happening.
A lot of it is not to put this off onto my kids, but they're not cooperating, and I should know that,
right.
But I should be prepared that they're not cooperating,
right?
And that's fine, but it's other little things too. Like, I'm not failing miserably across the board.
Right.
It's kind of frustrating where I feel like, I'm spending so much investment at the beginning, and to maybe get, oh yeah, sure, I got 75% of what I wanted, and that's a low percentage.
Right.
So now what it has me wondering is perhaps one solution is to sort of look at the frequency versus the volume, to use a David Hobby phrase, which is something okay. that he did a little while ago, a couple years back, is slow down the frequency of his blog posts and raise the volume. Make sure that a lot of people, which is kind of confusing, because volume means you're selling a lot. But in this case, he means, you know, how loud it is, or how big the reach is. Or for me, crank down the frequency of images that I'm taking or setting up, and focusing more on the volume of the output, how good it is.
Right. And I think you talked about that concept like a long time ago. When you're doing a job, you know, someone might come up to you and say, you know, okay, we want to do this setup and that setup. And this kind of applies to weddings, but in any kind of, you know, portrait situation where you're doing a paid job, they might want, you know, five different setups, in which case, you know, your response would be, how about we just do one really good one, or mm-hmm. we do five kind of mediocre ones, right?
Right. Yeah, no, I never thought of it in terms of the wedding, because I have a wedding coming up actually next week. And that's what I'll end up doing. So it's been a while since I've shot a wedding, and it's gonna be. That's why I'm asking about the knee. Can I do it on the knee?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. You're good to go.
Just to tie it back and
throw a Band-Aid on it. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay. Good.
Some dirt.
Okay. Enough about the knee, Adam. Come on. Yeah. So I maybe I have to do a little weddings a little more often, because that really throws you into the fire. Like there is no oh, I didn't get the shot. Like you, right. you have to deliver something. Now, you know, you're not really going to deliver 500 Rembrandts of the day, but you're going to have to deliver something. You know, something good that they're going to be, you know, glad they hired you. And there's no excuses. And so maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need that recharge to say, hey, look, like just you're overextending yourself. Just focus on, you know, getting this one really, really well. You know, do this one really, really well. And maybe that's right. what I'll do, you know, out in the field. So now I'm wondering, this is just also tying back, and this is by no means is this an excuse to buy it. But last week I talked a little bit about the Fuji X100F. And I've been kind of toying with the idea still.
Right.
Kind of researching prices on the older models. And yeah. once again, this is like the David Hobby episode without having David Hobby on the show. But I saw a tweet Twitter thread that he wrote about, you know, what he would do, you know, what he recommends if you want to, you know, want to buy an older one, you know, and what it's worth. Like, you know, would you buy, you know, he wouldn't buy a used 100. He'd buy a used 100S, but for $500.
Right.
You know, and then a couple, a little bit more for the T, and then obviously then there's the F is considerably more. And so I kind of looked at prices, and nothing's really falling in that $500 range. Like it's all, the prices are still very, very high.
Gotcha.
You know, so I'm still going to look at the, I'm not pulling the trigger yet, and I'm not using this as a justification. Like, okay, well, if I get this camera, then all these problems will go away. I'm not saying that. However, I feel like this might help in those regards, because, you know, in my head, it's all very simple. Like it takes a lot of the what have you out of the equation, which I guess I suppose I could do with my DSLR anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just focus on the one lens, which I normally do. As I mentioned, I shot my daughter's kindergarten graduation, for lack of a better word, and the weather was terrible. And so I brought an inside lens. I brought the 85mm. Turns out the weather was an okay enough that they had it outside, and thus I had the wrong lens.
Right.
But I would have brought the 70 to 200, but a couple more variables. Would that have helped me or hindered me? I don't know.
Yeah.
So in the end, I got a couple pictures. That's all I needed. I just wanted to document the event. It was exciting to her, not so much the, you know, wasn't like she was playing the Grand Ole Opry or something.
Right.
And so, you know, I documented the event. Everybody wins. But I'm thinking, like, with the further simplification of using the Fuji and smaller and always with me, will it lead to less Russian and more Finnish?
I think certainly sometimes, like anything, there's so many variables, and we've talked about whether you want to experience the event or whether you want to photograph it. So sometimes just the camera, having the camera there at all is a good thing, and sometimes it's not. So I don't think you can sort of draw a universal conclusion to that question. I think just the mere fact that it's small and out of the way means you'll have it with you more, so that you have more potential, but also then more potential to miss the event because you're behind the lens. So you'll get more images, that's for sure.
But I don't want more images. I want more good images. Like, I don't want, yeah. No, that's the thing, is I don't, it's not a matter of I'll always have it, and so I'll get those, you know, I'll get those hits. I want a higher batting average. I don't want necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know that you can say that you'll get a higher batting average. You'll uh-huh. definitely you'll probably keep a similar batting average, is what I'm going to think.
So I mean, ultimately, I know, you know, in my own head that in order to sort of reverse this trend, which may not even be a trend, it might just be me being highly critical, it's going to take some internalization and some discipline on my part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's funny you mention it, because I've come across that exact thing that you're talking about, where I line everybody up in the team photo. Think I have it, and then all of a sudden, like later on, like what is that one guy doing? Did he move?
Yeah.
Because I did tell you to stand there. Why didn't you just listen to me?
Yeah.
Why didn't you look at the camera? Why not?
Yeah, and again, I think that's something that no matter what you do, even if you think you did it all right, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong in a group, especially, you know, a group of, let's say, 10 or more. And then the more younger kids you get, the more likely you're going to get, you know, people not looking at the camera or eyes closed or all these potential variables. And then I think, you know, the bottom line is that, I mean, you do the best you can and you hope for the best in a situation like that. And you got to kind of be able to just put it behind you and go to the next one, or hopefully learn something. Like, I feel like I'd pay a little bit more attention to just that one detail, but then I'll miss something else. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So my resolution from this, for the halfway to New Year's resolution, is less Russian, more Finnish.
Sure. I think that's a great goal to have.
Okay.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
I'll let you know how it goes by New Year's. Okay. All right. Photo challenge for next week is the monthly challenge. That's summer part two.
I still haven't done it.
I think we're going to have summer this week, so I better get mine. I'll get mine tomorrow, I think. That's my plan.
I hope I get something.
So post yours on Instagram, hashtag it #TwoHosersMonthlyChallenge, and we will we'll talk about it on the show.
What happens if I pull a photo from last summer?
Yeah, no, you're one pathetic loser.
I feel like I have one in the bag now since you didn't do a photo. So now I get a, like, basically
you're
like,
gonna get equate a weekly, a weekly photo with a monthly. You're gonna equate with a weekly with a monthly. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable. That's totally fine. I'm just gonna use my one from last month and just flip it, flip the negative, and say, no, it's a different photo.
Okay.
Equally bad. All right, Adam, websites, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
All right, and you can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, where I'm going to post my MRI results.
Okay.
And it'll get everyone to chime in with their two cents on what's going on with my knee. Or you can find the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.